Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by the Spring Branch District, be a part of the heart of Houston in Spring Branch. The Alamo City's East Side is in the spotlight as San Antonio Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Ed Arnold connects with Sage CEO James Norte for an update.
I am really excited today to be joined by the new CEO of San Antonio's Organization for Growth on the East Side, Sage, James Norte, who has just been recently named the CEO. James, I'm so glad to have you here on Texas Business Mind. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Ed. It is an honor and a blessing to be here. I am excited to be here, and I'm excited to lead the next chapter in Sage's story.
Absolutely. That sounds awesome. So, as I said, you know, San Antonians tend to know Sage. It's an organization we've covered extensively over the years here at Business Journal. But those around the state that might not know about Sage, why don't we introduce a little bit about the organization? We'll talk about you.
Sure. Sage is a 501c3 organization that promotes economic development and cultural vitality. But before I get too much further into what Sage does, I always feel as if I need to explain, well, how did I get here? What's my role? Okay. And so for all of our friends, either in San Antonio or other parts of the state, I am a lifelong Texan. My parents are immigrants from Ghana, West Africa, but I was born in Dallas, Texas, lived there for 8 years, and then grew up in El Paso, Texas, lived on the west side, and then went to college in Waco at Baylor University. And then after a stint near Boston for law school, I went ahead and started my career in Austin, Texas. Practiced there for a number of years before moving to Houston, Texas. Practiced there for 6 years. And then finally, the love of my life convinced me to move over to San Antonio. I saw the light, and I have not left since. In 2019, made San Antonio my home. Wow. And that's how I got here.
You made it to the right spot. Well done.
Finally.
It took me. Hit Lubbock is the only place.
I still need to get Lubbock, and I still need to get Brownsville on my list, but I think I'm going to stick around San Antonio for a little while.
I think that's right. We're glad to have you. Well, you are a true Texan, sir. You've seen every corner of this. You're a native Texan. You know the state very, very well. And coming to San Antonio, what's that been like for you? You've been here a few years now, but what's the experience been like? What's your feeling about the city so far?
I love it. I'm drawn by the family-friendly nature. You know, San Antonio is the seventh largest city in the United States, but from the demeanor and humility of our community, you wouldn't know it. Very much a family-friendly town. Everyone knows it's a military city, but strong traditions, strong love of culture. Of course, we're a fiesta city, but fiesta for all ages, right? And so whether you're a young professional, whether you have young kids or the family, or whether you're a little bit more seasoned and you have some gray in your hair, there's something for everyone. And I love that about San Antonio.
No doubt. This is a community where children are always welcome no matter the event. And I love that about it, right? You go to something that might in another city get a little wild and be more of an adults only event, children are always welcome there. I love that about the city. And people are always happy to bring their family everywhere they go in town for whatever the event may be. And it is very family oriented. It's one of the things that drew me to the place as well instantly, raising my kids here. So yeah, I'm with you 100%. So let's talk about Sage a little bit. Let's talk about what it does for the East Side and why it's such an important organization for the city.
Sure. Sage, in a nutshell, San Antonio for Growth on the East Side, promotes the cultural vitality and economic development of the East Side of San Antonio. And why that's important is the East Side of San Antonio has been challenged by historic disinvestment and concentrated poverty. Like so many cities in the United States, there were intentional efforts, whether it be through city or through the private actors, to use, whether it be redlining, a lack of city services, that did not allow the same quality of life in the East Side of San Antonio as the rest of the city. As a result of that legacy, there was an intentional effort to place traditionally African Americans in this part of the city, which compounded their economic advancement. Today, the East Side of San Antonio is incredibly diverse. There is no particular majority, but the influence of San Antonio's African American community, as well as Latino community, contributes to that rich experience. The concern, though, like many other communities in Texas, is the areas that were historically disinvested are also far more affordable. And we're seeing increased pressure for development. And Ed, I don't share this as a bad thing. I think if you were to ask my fellow community members, gentrification by itself isn't all bad. When you have increased property taxes, there's going to be an effort to find cheaper rents, cheaper property. The concern, though, is when you have not so much development, but displacement, where individuals who perhaps have lived in the community their entire lives see that their property taxes are going up and no longer afford to live there on their own. It's one thing if you make the conscious decision to move to improve your family, to improve your life. It's another thing when the community that you call home feels like a commodity that you can't afford anymore. And I think the way we step in is by supporting small businesses so that we can allow some development, some ground retail. We preserve that East Side culture and heritage in the face of development pressure. And we work to actively guide growth so that we can steer commercial development along our larger corridors and protect our historic neighborhoods.
Oh, that's fantastic. All that is, it goes right in line with sort of things that we often talk about inside the newsroom all the time,
right?
Which is, how do we make sure that the booms that are happening across this city are equitable? As you were talking about, people of color of all stripes have been locked out of financial institutions for generations, unable to buy and own their own property in many cases, thus locking them out of, you know, the benefits of a soaring increase in property values. Look, if a family owns their home and suddenly a developer wants to buy it and pay them five times as much that their home is worth, I see no problem with those people making that benefit, deciding that they're going to do something else. They get to at least share in the equity of that.
That's exactly right.
You know, but you've had generations of people locked out of that, either, as you say, from the financial system or from government issues, a whole variety of cultural structures. But just the raw fact that people have been unable to financially benefit from this at the lowest and middle and low levels of our community's economic structure. And I really do think that this is a positive of the city's business community. The local business community does not want that to happen. When I talk to them, they want to see more development. They want to see the city grow, but they don't want to see their communities or their cultures displaced. The communities and cultures that local developers, local businesses have grown up in themselves, they feel as passionately about it as the people that live there. So how do we as a business community help break that cycle for those business owners that are in the East Side who, you know, there's going to be pressure on their rent. There's no doubt about it. So how do we, you know, as a broader business community, help improve that and improve that equity?
It's a great question, Ed. And there's a couple ways of doing this because we all bring different perspectives. We all bring different talents and such that all ideas are welcome. I'll share a little bit about what Sage does, and then I would like to invite other ways other businesses can also contribute. Yeah. We offer a storefront grant program that helps qualified property owners with grants up to $10,000 to improve the exterior of their business. As I mentioned before, there are some businesses in our community who, for whatever reasons, have suffered wear and tear, and they have a great idea, but perhaps the exterior doesn't look as inviting. Right. With the opportunity to have additional funding to spruce it up, make it inviting, make it walkable and approachable, it improves the appeal to the public. At the same time, it's not enough to work on the exterior. You got to work on the interior. Another one of our programs is a back office program that offers business support, educational opportunities, resources, technical assistance to help people understand how to create a business plan, how to work through their accounting and bookkeeping. And so we approach this from both the internal and external. The best thing the business community can do, by all means, is to bring their dollars and shop on the East Side. I encourage folks to go when they're thinking about where they're going to have their next, whether it be a lunch break or go for happy hour, come on down to the East Side and spend your dollars here. And then tell about your experience, whether it be through a family member or friend or shared on social media. Because we are combating decades of perceptions, we have to be affirmative in our response in promoting the business on the East Side. At the same time, though, I do think there are other efforts to help support the larger community. One way to do that is by supporting Sage directly. I always say that to the extent that you want to listen to what the community wants to see. Now, we may not always have the time, we may not always have the effort to be able to actually talk to folks in our community. Let Sage stand in the gap. I'm always happy to engage with business leaders who want to be part of the solution. based on whether it's a bank that wants to sponsor programs or to extend lending, or whether it be an artist community that wants to showcase art unique to the area, or whether it might be something that isn't exactly a business, but it's a nonprofit or providing a social service. And so it's specific to the goal of that business enterprise, but I do know all aid is welcome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I would encourage all of our listeners who may be in banking and finance. I know that how the pressure has been on to grow your commercial loans. There are thriving businesses on the east side that have been significantly underbanked over the years. And this is a good opportunity, I would say, to get in with businesses that are going to be in a hotter and hotter market as the years go on. The east side is growing. There's just no doubt about it. And it has some really, really remarkable assets that are maybe overlooked sometime. I mean, I think St. Philip's College is a really good example of just an incredible asset for that neighborhood and that community. They have wonderful programs around their school, not just for their students, but for the neighborhood that surrounds them. For those that don't know, and for those from out of town, the Spurs play in Frost Center, and that is on the east side. And it's a great time to try the restaurants that are in that general area on the north and south side of the interstate there. There's a lot of new things being opened up. One thing I want to talk to you about are the things that are new is opening up, and it's a little bit off kilter, but I was thinking about Government Hill. Here in San Antonio, the Pearl neighborhood, we've talked about many, many times for obvious reasons. It's very luxurious and it's doing great, and we're all love having it as a jewel in the middle of the city. But there's pressure spilling east from Pearl for development demand. And there are businesses not too far away from where the Pearl is now on Government Hill that, you know, are traditionally been there for decades in some cases, some new ones as well. But it's becoming a vibrant local business community. And I think reminding people that they have those options is really, really key, and that there are partnerships that they can build over there. And Sage is a good way to do that.
Absolutely. I think all along, if you live in San Antonio, along Commerce Street, New Braunfels, along Houston Street, we're seeing restaurants, bars, businesses pop up. And I would invite all of our listeners to actually just stroll through the neighborhood. When people think about San Antonio, we are very well known for our military assets. We're known for the Alamo, of course, the Riverwalk. But I don't think people take the time to go and check out all the treasures on the east side. But to the extent, I'll call it a few businesses. There's always Jay's Eatery, Mark's Crossing, Tank's Pizza. And so to the extent that those are some of my favorites that I've just learned about this, we also couldn't resist but say Dignity Meats as well. Yep. And so the opportunity is there. All people just need is a chance to join in. I sense that there's excitement about what the east side could be, but there's also a concern about what development pressure looks like. I think the Pearl here in San Antonio is a great example of how a community can be revitalized. And I do think there is a sense that it's for all of San Antonio. And so to the extent that we can find the appropriate level of growth that keeps businesses like that along our major corridors, but resist the temptation to encroach further to the neighborhood, that's a sweet spot. And it really is going to take all of us. There's no one single solution. What's worked for the Pearl won't necessarily work for East San Antonio, but I think that's where community engagement comes in. That's where Sage has a responsibility to kind of see those nuanced conversations and get a sense of what is the most appropriate development.
James Norte joining us. Next, he shares what separates San Antonio from other Texas cities. When Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, we work vigilantly to investigate and prevent workers' compensation insurance fraud, which has resulted in over $13.5 million in restitution and recoveries for Texas businesses since 2018. Learn how your business is better at texasmutual.com/fraud.
When your business expansion or relocation includes a move to Houston, contact the Spring Branch District. The Spring Branch District is a community offering the kinds of services that help our businesses grow and flourish, including grants for building improvements, 24-hour security patrols, restaurants owned by world-famous chefs, beautiful parks and trails, and easy access to four major freeways. Be a part of the heart of Houston in Spring Branch. Contact us at info@sbmd.org.
The structure of building and development in San Antonio, and certainly many, many neighborhoods, the Historic Design Review Commission gives an enormous amount of control to the neighbors who are able to participate in the process. That is something I've seen very lacking in other cities. You may be able to get your voice heard at the city council level, but it's a lot harder to be heard in other cities and in other development plans. So I would encourage also the listeners and businesses to take advantage of that and have their voices heard when it comes to what kind of development they want to have in their community and in their neighborhood. I've seen developers scrap plans and redo them based entirely on neighborhood feelings on that. I think it's a bit of a fallacy that you cannot influence a development. At least in San Antonio, I have seen active communities have a really positive impact on how a development comes together and that it matches the culture of the neighborhood. And I think it just requires an additional participation and elevating those voices, I think, is really helpful here.
Ed, you're exactly right. Before I moved to San Antonio, I used to live in Austin where I practiced as an attorney. But in my evenings and in my weekends, when I wasn't a corporate attorney in corporate suites, I was very much a community activist in the city streets. And I had the opportunity to serve on Austin's Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed to see that to the extent, you won't be surprised, but not every neighborhood is developed the same. I don't disparage any of our wealthier neighborhoods in Austin, but I could see that those residents understood the power of community engagement. And it got to a point where even developers were afraid to take a single step in their place without consulting them. But I also saw the other side, that in those neighborhoods where the cost to develop was cheaper, in those neighborhoods that were predominantly people of color and didn't have as much wealth, there was a sense of hopelessness and despair that what did it matter if I engage? Yes. And that made it so much easier for developers who, at the end of the day, I don't bear any moral judgment. It's a business in terms of building a product. Absolutely. But I may raise critiques on how they went about it. And so what I would argue is for developers, it is vital that you get community buy-in, because at the end of the day, it'll actually make your cost cheaper by getting insight on the front end of what the community wants, and then having to not worry about regulatory instability when a project could get held up by staff or council. For the community, don't ever let anyone tell you your voice doesn't matter. I am a living witness to attest to the power of when an organized group of 10 people come into a meeting with the same colored shirt or come to City Hall and they are organized. It sends fear down the backs of developers and it whips a council person into shape. And yep. So by all means, please raise your voice. Let people know what you want to see in your community.
Yes, absolutely. I think that fighting against that, I think that cynicism that all of us fall prey to from time to time, I think fighting against that is a really important message to carry, because it's a vigilance that is required in order to make sure that you are living and growing in a community that you want to be in and that you feel good about its direction. You cannot do those things snoozing. You have got to remain engaged if the community that you live in is on the path you want it to be on. And so that requires renewing that hope, renewing that, optimism over and over again. And I think you've got to have that. You really, really do have to have that for the community and the business, the community at large and the business community to be able to come together consistently and have both of their needs met. Because it's not I've always said it is a cyclical relationship.
Right.
Businesses do not thrive without a thriving community to sell to and to develop for and to be their customers. They are not separatable. So you have to worry about your community's health, and that comes from your development side as well.
And that is so well said. Oftentimes when I'm in these conversations about development, gentrification, there is a easy temptation to pit folks against one another, perhaps neighborhoods against developers, or perhaps some community activists against the real estate community or against the business community. And I understand why people do that. But in my experience, it really does a disservice, because at the end of the day, we may not all have the same incentives. Some of us are doing this for a business interest. Some of us are doing this for a personal interest. But to the extent we're all in the same community, we all want the same thing, which is a place to call home, a place where we can work and worship and live and play. And what happens to all of our communities, to our schools, to our cities, it affects one another, from our tax base to the services we provide. And so the approach I've seen work the best is to start with the end goal in mind, which is whether you're on the east side of San Antonio, the west side, north, or whether you're in El Paso, Dallas, Houston, Austin, we want an economically inclusive, prosperous community of opportunity. We want to see a place where people can live out what we call the American dream and have all their basic needs met and be able to advance economically. I know for a lot of people that might sound like high in the sky, cheesy, easy word salad, but when you talk to people, that's really what they want. Our challenge then is, how do we make that dream a reality? And you said it, to the extent by getting engaged, raising your voice on what you want your community to look like, and working on the same team with our development community and neighborhood community on how do we get a win-win solution that we can all call home.
Absolutely. And I'm going to try to do my best to match your voice as well and just say, you know, San Antonio is well known throughout Texas and the nation as being a great host city. There's a reason why we get Final Fours without having an NFL team. It's because we are really good at hosting a party. We're real good at having people come and be visitors. We roll out the red carpet really well. That includes all parts of this city. Downtown, sure, we're all happy that you come to see the Alamo and hang out at the Riverwalk, but you're quite right. Every corner of this city is great at hospitality, and the East Side is no exception. There are wonderful businesses to visit, great things to do on this side. Again, if you're not coming down for Spurs basketball, I don't know what you're doing. You've got to see Wembanyama before they break 70 wins and no one can get tickets anymore. So you've got to get down and see him as soon as possible. So I can't endorse that message enough. Come to the East Side of San Antonio and see what's happening, and I think you'll become as big a fan as I have. So, James, thanks. How about you give them a nice parting shot about what they should come and do when they come see you?
Absolutely. And I just want to, first of all, just thank you again for the opportunity to have this conversation. What I'll say is, to the extent people are well aware that downtown is the heart of San Antonio, but I'm telling you that the East Side is its soul. From its historic cultural efforts and preservation, through its historic neighborhoods, through the wonderful food, culture, museums. And so my invitation for you is the next time you're in San Antonio, or if you live in San Antonio, take a stroll to the East Side, see something different, experience some of the soul for yourself.
What a great message to end on. James, thank you so much for chatting with me. Always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ed. Have a good one.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. And by the Spring Branch District. Be a part of the heart of Houston in Spring Branch.